Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what a joy to gather together this morning. And Lord, anyone on their way, bring them here. And Lord, we've got three or four of us here, which is more than a majority with you. And so we bow down before you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at a prayer today in the Bible of following Jesus. And so let us begin by singing and trusting in Jesus. Let us begin by singing number 110, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Leaning on His everlasting arms, really. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. 110 at the end. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Turn in your Bibles to, if you have your Bibles with you, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8 as we continue on through the Bible looking at prayers in the Bible. And today we have a very short prayer, only six words in English. And we find it in Matthew 8, verse 25. Matthew 8, verse 25. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. This is just a great example here, I think, for us. We begin the context here back in verse 18 of chapter 8, and it says, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. So we see first now, Jesus is with his disciples. He has cleansed a leper. He has healed Peter's mother-in-law. Many were healed there in the first part of chapter 18. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. In verse 16, he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. Much healing. And so then verse 18, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. So go on down to verse 23. Matthew 8:23. Now when they had got into a boat, the disciples followed him. So everything is going well. He's commanded his disciples to go to the other side. He gets into the boat. They follow him. So everything is cool, right? In the will of God, following him, right? So you would think things are going to go well. Well, the very next verse says, suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. So what I think the application is for us into this prayer is that first, we're going to get to the prayer here in just a minute where it says, well, let me read on through, then we'll go back. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So we have really an object lesson here where Jesus is going to be teaching his disciples a number of things. He has just been showing them all kinds of healing power. And there were some other healers around to a degree in those days. But who could control the sea? We know that when the sea gets all stirred up, it takes usually a long time for it to calm back down. But here Jesus gives a command, and the seas calm immediately. What a remarkable, remarkable thing, particularly for guys who are used to the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee, for those of you who have been on it, know that the wind can come down through those mountains and it stirs it up into just a mighty roaring tempest in just a few minutes. And this is a fearful thing because we see the boat was covered with waves. In another account, this is given to us again in Mark and Luke, it says water was filling the boat. So this is not just a little bump in the road where you're hitting a bump in the road and you're not, kind of uncomfortable. Your life is in danger here because there's water pouring in the boat. So look at the circumstances here. Where is Jesus during this time? He's sleeping. Now, he's commanded him to go into the boat. And first, I think we go back to, Lord, save us, we are perishing, in a larger sense. You and I, when we cried out to Jesus, Lord, save us, we are perishing, from our heart, he saved us, didn't he? Forever. Because of what he's done for us 1900 years ago. And it doesn't matter what happens to us in this lifetime, we're saved, right? And so we should be safe and secure in that. The disciples should be safe and secure, knowing that he's told them, we're going to go over to the other side. And he gets in the boat and they follow him. Now, immediately he allows a great tempest to arise on the sea. He didn't have to do that. But I see that being done here as an object lesson. Because here now, everything you see, everything you sense, everything around you is a tempest. It's a great waves, water pouring into the boat. And you're going to be fearful, right? So when we're going through life now and we have these afflictions, right? We have these problems. And we have them, don't we? I mean, you see them every day, people coming to you and say, oh, that is a horrible problem. And to them, it's just like this great tempest here. Their boat is filling up with water and they think they're going to drown. But look at what he tells them here. First of all, he goes and sleeps. It doesn't say much in the Bible about Jesus sleeping, but it does here. And when does he sleep? He sleeps in the great tempest. And that's unbelievable, isn't it? Can you sleep in a great tempest? No. Well, you can if you got your eyes on the waves. But if you got your eyes on Jesus, you can, right? And so he is sleeping. And so, you know, they're really concerned now because they're going to drown, and here's their master, and he's asleep. Unbelievable, isn't it? And is he asleep because of fatigue, or is he possibly because he's man, fully God, or is he just asleep from an object lesson from the standpoint of showing them that there should be peace in the eye of this storm? Well, at any rate, we don't know for sure, but they cry out, they say, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And that is a legitimate prayer because from the standpoint of their earthly position in the water, the boat was being filled with water. It looked like they were going to drown. But now Jesus awakens and says to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And I think that's what he asks us often. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Why are you so concerned about the waves that you see coming over the boat? When you know that he is holding us in his everlasting arms, right? So we forget that, don't we? And we look at it. And whether it's a disease, whether it's cancer or whatever it is in our lives that causes us to really take our eyes off of Him, and all the physical things tend to do that, don't they? Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. So we see him demonstrating his ability in a very physical way. Obviously, we know that he saves us through what he's done for us on Calvary by the shedding of his blood, by the forgiveness of our sin through that. But in another sense, we see here the aspect of him being the creator, right? The creator of heaven and earth. And earth created by him obeys him, and he rebukes the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And this was something that I don't think they'd ever seen before, because there was never, who could have done that? Nobody could do that. And so what was the result? They marveled. They marveled. They were amazed, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? So we see here that Jesus uses this physical problem, this physical danger, to make the point of who he is. He's even greater than their Savior in a sense. There can't be anything greater than an eternal Savior, can there? And yet we're in this physical world, so we see healings or we see miracles in this physical world, and it impresses us because we are amazed, because here on one hand we're about to die because of drowning, and we're really crying out. And you know good and well, if you're about to drown, you're going to cry out, Lord, save us, we are perishing, with much more intensity than if there's no problem. If you've got a calm sea, who's going to cry out, Lord, save me? Because you're not in danger, right? And I've often thought of this. If I'm sitting on the deck of a ship, comfortably on the deck, and I see somebody drowning, I'm going to pray, right? But if I'm the one drowning, you think the prayer is going to be a little more urgent? Much more urgent, isn't it? And here they were drowning. So they cry out. He rebukes them. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then he calms the sea, and they're amazed. So as we look at this today, the question that I have for myself is, how fearful am I when I see the winds and the waves around me? Am I able to separate the real saving power of Christ from these physical things? Am I able, even in the face of that, to sleep? And sleep is wonderful, isn't it? It is an example, I think, of being able to turn it over to the Lord, because we have nights when we're awake through the night watches, aren't we? Because we've got so much going on in our mind or problems or whatever, we can't sleep. But remember this, in turning it over to the Lord, what he's done for you cannot be changed by any of these problems. And oftentimes he gives these problems to us to show us his ability to sleep through them, number one, our ability to sleep through them, and the fact that he has saved us because of what he has done for us. Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for the encouragement in it. And we see the frailties of the disciples. And we see our own frailties too. How often we take our eyes off of you and just come into a state of great agitation and great worry. And so, Lord, bless this time now in prayer as we go forward. And Lord, we do cry out, Lord, save us, we are perishing, and we thank you for hearing that cry and saving us. And Lord, we thank you that we are the only creatures, us humans, that have a plan of redemption, the only ones. We are so special in your sight. So as we pray this morning, Lord, may we pray for those who do not yet know you. May we pray for our church. May we pray for our pastors. May we pray for our missionaries. May we pray for just to have peace in the eye of the storm and be available for you, Lord, rather than be all fraught with worry and anxiety and off on the sidetrack, so to speak, worrying about ourselves. May we have our eyes on you and turn it over to you and say, Lord, save me, I'm perishing, and watch you calm the storm and putting us back on the right track, Lord. So here we are, the time to pray. Coming together, only by your Spirit can we be in one accord. And so as we pray with really short prayers, whoever is praying, may we know that it is prompted by the Spirit. We're agreeing with that prayer, not thinking about some fancy words we're going to use when it's our turn or whatever, but just to respond to your Spirit. And so lead us and guide us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.